Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lisa, give Lisa a round of applause. She's going to do our news.
All right. Wow, what a great Sunday already, and there's more to come. So in a few moments, we're going to have Tribe, which is for our teens. And if you guys could leave through this door, because unless you want to go for a swim before Tribe, then it's probably safer to go around the long way. So that's in a few moments. Our teens are going to leave for Tribe. Tonight, as you've heard already, we've got our baptismal service at 6:30. That's here. So if you don't have another church to go to tonight, we would absolutely love to have you come back and join and celebrate with some of our guys who are going to go through the waters of baptism tonight. So that's 6:30 here tonight if you're free. This week, we've got our life groups on as normal. And we've got guys football at 8:30 on Wednesday at the Sports Barn in the Mullalish Road or wherever that is. so that's 8:30 if you're a guy and you're interested in football. That's Wednesday night. Then that brings us round to next Sunday morning. We've got church at 11:30 as normal. If we don't see you at any of those things through the week, we would absolutely love to have you back again next Sunday morning. And then the last two announcements are about a couple of dates for your diary. They're Christmassy things, and everyone loves Christmas, so please keep these dates free and come along with us to join. The first one is Saturday the 9th of December. We're going to have a live nativity. We did it here last year as well.
Amen. So we have been talking about being sons and daughters. We talked about it last week. We're going to do another part of it today. Just praying about it this last couple of weeks. And just Father God was just saying again and again, I want to remind us that we're sons and daughters of the Most High. That we are sons and daughters of God, and we need to continuously remind ourselves of that. Otherwise, we'll fall into the trap of maybe I'm not, or maybe I'm this, or maybe I'm that. And so this morning, what I'd like to think about, if we're sons and daughters, then that means, unfortunately, we've got brothers and sisters. That can be a bit of a nightmare, because if you've grown up in a family with brothers and sisters, you can probably remember some of the fights that you've had, some of the outcomes that weren't just as desirable as you'd like, some of the times where maybe you hit out instead of holding. I mean, even this morning, Jessica's running behind Bethany, Bethany's running behind Jessica, and Jessica's beating her, and she thinks, I know how to work this one, I'll grab her hair. And she just gives her a quick yank, that allows her to get in front. You see, kids are very resourceful, and brothers and sisters are very resourceful, and they'll think how to get around things so they can win. Our girls like to do competitions, but then when it looks like one of them's not going to win, they go, can we just do a draw? Can we just do a draw? If the other one's winning, it's like, no, I'm happy to go with the win. And then they'll go, we'll just do a draw. And then as soon as the other person catches up, we're back on a race again. Let's do a race. And so brothers and sisters are highly competitive. And there's nothing quite like having brothers and sisters, but there's nothing quite like the fights that brothers and sisters can have. And I was praying this week, and I thought this, God, you know, why can't it just be me and you, God? Why can't it be me and you without brothers and sisters? It would just be so much easier. Me and God, we just do our thing. We could be like Adam in the garden, just going around naming animals. Everything's bliss. Everything's good. And then he made Eve, and things started to mess up, so we blamed women ever since. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it feels like that sometimes. But God is good. And he's created people for us. And it's good to have a wife. And it's good to have a husband. And it's great to have brothers and sisters. And one of the biggest blessings that we have when we come into the kingdom of God and we turn around from our old life and the Holy Spirit saves us, sets us free, delivers us from our sins, is that he makes all things new. And in making all things new, he gives us an incredible family, brothers and sisters. And so this morning, I'd love to talk about having brothers and sisters and think about maybe how we could love a tiny bit better than we have before, or maybe some of the changes God wants to make in our hearts and in our lives so that we can be better brothers and sisters to the people around us. You see, the thing about it is, and I shared a story about Jessica and Bethany, but at this point in their life, they think that their brother and sister should be for them. But there comes a point in our lives where we realize as maturing sons and maturing daughters that our lives have got to be maybe more for the other person and it's less about me. And so there's that shift that needs to take place. And again, like us as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're not careful, we can stay on that younger stage of, well, all of my brothers and sisters should be about me. Why is nobody phoning me? Why is nobody coming to visit me? Why is somebody not reaching out to me? And all of those things can be good in a sense, but we've got to realize that part of the process is that we're reaching back as well and that we're being a kind brother and a good sister, and we're reaching back. And so this morning, I'd like to talk about that, having brothers and sisters. The problem with having brothers and sisters is that at some point, you're going to have to show forgiveness because they're going to mess things up. At some point, you're going to have to show love because they maybe do something you never anticipated they would do, like pull your hair. But they just did. They didn't mean to. And then they'll come to you and go, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. Of course you did. You wanted to win. But as brothers and sisters, we've got to have places where we love each other, where we encourage each other, where we build each other up. And I want us to read these verses this morning. It comes from Ephesians 4, verses 29 to 32. It's on the screen, or if you've got your Bible on your phone or Bible in a book, whatever, then look it up. We're going to read it together. This is what God's goal is for all of us in terms of how we build each other up, in terms of how we encourage each other up. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. We're probably already feeling at that point. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And so God's saying this morning, I want the words that come out of your mouth would be wholesome, that would be uplifting, that would be encouraging, because I want you to bring benefit to the people around you. That's what brothers and sisters do. If we don't do that, we start to live like we used to live, which was as orphans and slaves, where it's every man for themselves, survival of the fittest. I don't care what happens to anybody else. I just need to care about me because I've got to get through. But whenever we become new heirs in Christ, whenever we get brothers and sisters, it's less about me and it's more about everybody else. And so this morning, let no unwholesome talk come from our lips, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. It's important to notice that people are going to have needs. People are always going to have needs. You're going to have needs. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need brothers and sisters, so that we can be helpers in times of need, that we can be prayer warriors in times of people's needs. I think what David loved this week when he was in hospital, and he didn't plan to be there for a long time, but he ended up being there for a few days. He loved it when people came to him, and they came and helped him out, came and prayed with him, came and encouraged him, because he had a need, and no one else, he needed people to come to him. He needed people to come to him, because he had a need, and people did. It says that it may benefit those who listen. So the words that we share and the words that we give should build up. They should help people according to their needs. And it should benefit those who listen. We want to bring a benefit. And then God just takes it to a really, really serious level. And he says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Wow. I think God just takes it to a completely new level there. Before, it's like, here's a good idea, talk kindly to each other. Here's a good idea, as brothers and sisters, be nice to each other, benefit each other, build each other up. And then God takes it to a completely different level. He says, but be careful you don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because this is serious stuff. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue, and the tongue has the power to build somebody up, or the tongue has the power to tear somebody down. Absolutely destroy somebody. And the Lord says this morning, you've got to be careful with your words that you do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because as we would treat other people, that's how we treat God. God says, how much do you love me? I'll tell you, how much do you love everybody else? How well do you treat your brothers and sisters? How well do you reach out to them? How well do you help them? Or is it always, what about me? What about me? And it's easy to fall into that trap, but God says, I want us to be maturing sons and maturing daughters who are careful of what they share, who are mindful of what they speak, because we want to bring benefit to those around us. That's what I want to do. Now, if you haven't been doing that so far, hopefully you're already starting to think, I'm going to talk about better. I'm going to talk about nicer, because I have brothers and sisters. And I tell you what, I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is sensitive. And there's nobody that loves us on earth more than the Holy Spirit. He loves you so much. He has sealed you with just this redemption. He has sealed you with his power. He has sealed you with his love. And so he is so sensitive. And he says, I don't want anybody coming against my chosen son or my chosen daughter, because I love them so much. And love is sensitive, it's patient, it's kind, and it doesn't like negative words, and it doesn't like when other sons and daughters would come to try and tear somebody else down, because the Holy Spirit says, he's mine, she's mine. Be careful what you say, because I'm sensitive over them. I love those guys. I'm protective over them. And so God is here this morning and said, this is the standard I want us to live to, through grace. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, get rid of bitterness. Here's what we've got to do. If we're going to live like the first part, this is how we get rid. We have to get rid and deal with this part. Get rid of all bitterness, because bitterness leads us to selfishness. It leads us to, what about me? It leads us to hatred. It leads me to a horrible place where I think about me more than anybody else, because I'm better. And it's incredible how bitterness can grow from a very small beginning and then become a really deep-rooted tree that can last a lifetime. Says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving. Forgiveness is a huge one. Forgiving each other just as Christ God forgive you. And then God just finishes off with another killer one. It's like, the way I forgive you. Remember how I forgive you. Remember how I showed you grace when you didn't deserve it. Remember how I laid down my life for you when you weren't worth it. But I said, you are worth it. Your actions weren't worth it. The way you were living weren't worth it. You were full of sin. You were full of shame. You were full of rejection. But I loved you, and my love overcame all of that. And so God's here this morning saying, be mindful of how I've forgiven you. And that's how we should exercise forgiveness to others. We've got to love, we've got to forgive, we've got to bring benefit. We've got to change the way that we think sometimes and the way that we act. And it comes down to this, making the right choice. What I love about God and what I love about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is they give us powerful choices. They give us the ability to make incredible choices. Jesus, I get to turn my life to you. Jesus, I get to live for you. Jesus, I get to lay down my life so that your life could live through me. Jesus, I get to die daily so that I can take up my cross and follow you. I get to make incredible choices. And this morning, we have to choose, in spite of how maybe circumstances have went, in spite of what that person has said to me, we've got to choose to stay as sons and not fall into the trap of becoming orphans and slaves again. Because orphans and slaves go back to, there's not enough, there's never enough, it's going to run out, it's all about me, I've just got to survive, I've just got to get through. But sons and daughters realize that their dad is good. He is more than enough. He is for them and not against them. That he's got time and purpose in everything. That he's working things around for good. He's transforming things. He's turning things around. I don't need to turn on each other because God's turning the bad around in my life for good and for his glory. See, the Lord is here this morning. He wants to remind us of who we are. There's pain. There's pain that we carry at times. And as we carry that pain, sometimes it can cause us to maybe not be our best towards other people because they remind us of a certain pain or they remind us of pain from the past. And I want to encourage us this morning that we can carry those pains and we can continue to carry those pains in whatever form they are. But the more that we carry them, the more they burden us. The more they make us ineffective as sons and daughters. Because you know what sons and daughters do? They bring their pains and their griefs and their worries and the chaos to their father because they can trust their father. They know that their father is good. And they lay that down at his altar knowing that he will burn that up because he's a good God. And so now I can carry free again. I can walk free again. Helps me to make better decisions. Helps me to love better. Because sometimes the reason why we react badly to people is because they remind us of something that we have done. Or they remind us of something that's been done to us, an injustice, something that we can continue to carry, a pain that we continue to hold up. And God's here this morning. He says, I want you to let go of those burdens and give them to me because they will be a stumbling block how you treat everybody else. Remember, we're sons and daughters with a great dad who cares for our needs and asks us to give them to him. I want us to think again about the story of Joseph. We looked at it last week and his brothers. And I want us to look at two, three important keys or important points this morning about having brothers and sisters that maybe is going to challenge our hearts, change us, and allow the Holy Spirit to mold us. The first one was that Joseph had brothers. But what happened in the story of Joseph was that his brothers allowed their love for him to start to begin to be replaced by hate. They got to a point very quickly, we're going to read the story in just a moment, where they were brothers in arms, where they were doing things together, where they had the same mom, the same dad, the same inheritance, they had all the same benefits, the same start, everything going on, and then they moved from a point of loving each other, being brothers together, until they started to allow hatred to fester. Things started to change, and then everything went wrong. Everything completely went wrong. I want us to read some verses this morning. It says this, in Genesis 37, verse 18, we've got it. They saw him from afar. This is their brothers looking out to Joseph. And before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. This is incredible. It's incredible that sons and daughters could get to a point of that we want to kill each other. They say that blood is thicker than water. Absolutely. But then there's times when we'll turn against each other. And when we turn against each other, there's nothing quite like a hatred between a brother or sister or brothers and brothers or sisters and sisters. It can become toxic really, really quickly. And in church, unfortunately, we've seen too many times when brothers and sisters have fought against each other, and it's led to what? Not just one or two people being affected, but whole churches being torn apart. People's lives never being the same, never being the same again because issues have got in, pains have got in, anger has got in, frustration has got in, bitterness has got in, and before you know, our love that would hold us tightly together has been broken, and our love has been replaced by hate. And these brothers so quickly, over a period of time, they have went from conspiring against their own flesh and blood, conspiring against him to the extent of, we want to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. They've got contempt for him. They don't like who he is. They don't like what he carries. They don't like the destiny on his life. They're jealous of him. Jealousy comes when we step away from being sons and daughters and we step back into being orphans and slaves. Because again, it's all about me. What if it runs out? What if there's not enough for me? They said to one another, here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. It's amazing how sons could become crazy men so quickly, where they're willing to kill their own brother. He says, let's throw him in a pit. Let's get rid of this guy. Let's kill this guy. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him. And when we see him, what will become of his dreams? You know what they're really excited about? That this dreamer is going to be put to an end. Like, we're sick of hearing about your dreams, Joseph. We're sick of you telling us that we're going to bow down to you. We're not happy about this. We don't like it. You're making us feel inferior. You're threatening us. You're threatening our position. And again, that's what happens when we step in back into that orphan mindset, that slave mindset. You're threatening my position. Whenever we have a good dad and we know that we're sons and daughters, my position is never threatened because my dad always has a spot for me. He always has a spot for me. Now, it may be one day that she sits on his knee, but the next day you're going to sit on his knee. You know what the great thing about God is? He's with each and every one of us all of the time. The Holy Spirit has no favorites. He's with each and every one of us. He's inside our hearts. He's inside our lives. He's working for us. Right at this moment, our Heavenly Father is in heaven, and he's there thinking about us. The Son is at the right hand, and he's interceding for us, praying for us, because he loves each and every one of us. Our Father is so good, he has capacity for each and every one of us. He's so much better than an earthly father. We have no need and no right and no want ever, should we, to step back into that old lifestyle of being a slave or being an orphan that says, I'm worried about running out, because our God says, I shall supply all of your needs through my riches and what? Glory. My glorious heavens, they span forever and ever and ever. And when you've been there for 1,000,000,000 years, there's still another 1,000,000,000 to go. And after that, more, and after that, more, because there are no limits to our Heavenly Father. And so, church, this morning, I want to make us mindful of our words are important, our actions are important, the way we think about each other is important. It says this in verse 26, then Judas said to his brothers, what profit is us? They're now turning their brother into being a profitable kind of business. We're going to sell him. If we kill our brother and conceal his blood, come let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Come let us sell him. It's our flesh and blood. We started off, we're going to kill him, and now we're going to sell him. I mean, for us looking in, it seems like a compromise. At least it's not as bad as killing them. This is still so bad. We're going to sell our brother with no knowledge of where he's going to go to. We're actually going to sell him into slavery. I mean, they had no idea they were selling him into how they were being. They were slaves at that point. They were just walking away from their father. They were just living as men that would do anything because we're just jealous and we're just living for ourselves. And church, this morning, I know it doesn't feel like any one of us in here, but it's amazing how when something starts off small, that very quickly it can grow. And instead of us wanting the best for somebody, we're starting to think of, oh, well, I told you so. That's not wanting the best for somebody. That's just like, yeah, I was right, you were wrong. You know, it's like taking a different position. It's not taking a position of love. It's taking a position of, I was right, you were wrong. And it's amazing how quickly we can move from we're together, we're going to do this together, we're going to be together forever type of thing, we're going to be brothers in Jesus, we're going to go save the world, all of those good things. And then, oh, he did something wrong against me one day. I'll never forgive him. That's the words that we use. I'll never forgive him. I could never forgive him. I'll never be able to let that thing go. And again, it seems like a small thing, but it can grow to become a huge thing. And before you know it, there can be hatred in our heart, murder in our heart. Well, I'm going to get rid of him in my heart. I just want the worst for him in my heart. Instead of thinking the best, I'm thinking the opposite. Church, this morning, the Lord wants to challenge us with the way that we think and the way that we interact. You know what the key about this was from this first encounter with Joseph and his brothers? It broke their unity. It broke their unity. That there's a strength within brothers and sisters. There's a strength within family that's almost unbreakable. But the moment that we start to turn in each other, we break the unity from the inside out. We break the unity from the inside out. And instead of being that one family, that strong thing that nobody can come near, that nobody can get in, we kill ourselves from the inside out. We destroy ourselves. And the thing about family and the thing that we've learned about church is that we're one body under Christ. We're one body under Christ. And if we take away from one person, we take away from ourselves. Because if we get rid of that foot that we don't like, we've lost our own foot because we're one body under Christ. And this is why it's so important this morning. This is why it's so important that the Lord challenges our hearts with these kind of things, because God wants to grow us in that. Sons stay together. Their unity is their strength. Slaves, they become individuals, and it's all about survival. That is not who we are in Christ, because he supplies all of my needs. He is a good father. We are good heirs to the son, to the throne. And then a second point this morning was this. They got to a place of, very quickly, where they thought to themselves, what about me? I think it started off very subtly, it started off very slowly, and it then started to grow and grow, and maybe it became a snowball, where they saw Joseph. It's like, why is he getting the best coat? What about me? Joseph, why is he getting all the time with Dad? What about me? And it's amazing how a simple phrase like that we don't think is that dangerous, that can be the start of everything. What about me? Why did he get a promotion in work and I didn't? What about me? And it comes back to this idea of maybe there's a lack. Maybe it's going to run out. Maybe I'm going to miss out. Maybe I'm going to be left behind. And it's amazing this morning that those thoughts can start to creep into our minds as sons and daughters of God. And we start to think things that we're never supposed to think. What if there's nothing left for me? What if I get left behind? What if there's no more? What if I get missed out? What if I get forgotten about? Anybody ever thought that this morning? What if I get forgotten? Good to see you, Tommy. You see her? What if I get forgotten? Church, this morning, it starts off with a small statement of what about me, and it can bring us to a place of let's get rid of that guy. Let's kill that guy. Let's get rid of Joseph. He's taking my time. He's getting in my way. He's doing what I need to do. And church, this morning, I would love us to think for just a moment this what about me and put that into our hearts and challenge our hearts this morning. Is that the way that we respond when we see somebody doing well? Somebody just got a new car. What about me? I've been looking for a new car for ages. They don't know what I'm going through. They don't know the pain that I've got. I've been praying for a new car for 10 years. Somebody stole my money. I don't know. All this big story about what about me? And again, instead of concentrating on all that stuff, we should be glad and excited because our Heavenly Father has blessed another son. Our Heavenly Father has blessed another daughter. We're excited. And you know what? My time will come. All in due course. My dad doesn't forget about me. He's a good father. He couldn't forget even if he tried. He couldn't forget about me even if he wanted to. He doesn't forget about me. He loves me dearly. He thinks about me every moment. Now, why is she getting blessed before me? Why is he getting blessed before me? I'm not sure. Maybe I'm being blessed and I don't even understand it. But I tell you what, I'm not going to turn against her. I'm going to turn to him. I'm going to turn to him and I'm going to say, Lord, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep blessing the brothers and sisters here because it's good. It's encouraging my soul. It's lifting me up. It's giving me hope that soon you're going to bless me with the things that I need. See, it's a completely different mindset. But if we start off with the what about me, it'll get us to a place of it's all about me. Why is God not doing everything for me? I'm giving up on this God thing. I'm right and God's wrong. It's just like we can get to that place so quickly. It's like everybody else, they should be living like me. And if they were living like me, it would be far better. And like, I'm living good and God's still not blessing me. It just becomes about that ME over and over and over again. And church, this morning, God wants to turn around and say, what about me? And we just turn around and say, what about you? Isn't God doing good things in you? Isn't God doing amazing things in you? Because you're a brother, you're a sister. I was praying, here's the good news. I was praying for the last month that God would bless you with that new car, and he did. Amen. And there's not a sense of jealousy in our hearts. There's not a sense of envy in our hearts. There's not a moment in our minds that says, I wish that was me from a negative sense. But instead we'd be like, hey, I'd love a new car too, God. Go to that prayer if you need to. Go with that prayer to God if you need to. I'd love a new car too, God. And then let him do whatever he needs to do. But we can live a life where we're slaves and we're bound up with the what about me and it's all about what I haven't got and what I need to have and what God needs to do for me. And if he doesn't do that for me, then he must be a bad God. And it's amazing how quickly we can move from this position to that position and then we start to doubt, is God good? Is God even real? Is God even for me? Seems to be for everybody else. What have I done that's so bad? Here's the truth. Everybody has done bad things. Jesus came for bad people, and then he transformed us. He transformed us to sons and daughters from sinners to saints. I love that. And so, church, this morning, watch how it can start off small, and we can start off with those thoughts of maybe I've been forgotten about, maybe I've been left behind, maybe God's forgotten about me. Don't allow those thoughts to dwell. Instead, praise him. Here's what Genesis 37, verse 4 says. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Isn't this incredible? They're part of the same family. They're there. Their father loves them. He's been blessing their other brother, but they've just got consumed with all this jealousy. They've got consumed with all of this, what about me? And it says this, they hated him. They hated him. And they could not speak peacefully to him. Imagine that. Imagine that. I mean, I think we can't imagine. Imagine we can get to a place with people where I can't even say a nice thing to them. That's really what it's saying there. Man, I don't know. I don't know what's changed, but I just can't even say a nice thing to him anymore. I don't even know what's happened anymore. I don't even remember what happened way back then, but I can't even say a nice thing anymore. That is not how sons and daughters live. That's not how God has intended for us to live. That's what those brothers who hated their brother did. That's not what we're supposed to do. If we're going to be joint heirs with Christ, loving our brothers and sisters, wanting to see each other promoted, wanting to see each other progress, wanting to see favor and blessing in each other's lives, instead we speak peace over their lives. Instead of we can't even speak a good thing over them. Be careful how we speak. Maybe even use that as a trigger in your mind. Why was I not a better blessing there? Why was I not saying nicer things there? Why was I not saying a different thing there, or saying this or saying that? Use that if we need to trigger our minds and say, hey, maybe there's some work God needs to do in my heart because I didn't build up the way that I should there. See, it's important that we look at our lives and we examine our hearts and we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal things to our spirits and reveal things to our minds to say, hey, did I talk appropriately there? Did I respond in the right way? Good sons know how to speak peace into somebody's life. Bad sons are living in a different way, don't speak peace. They actually want ruin and chaos. Church, this morning, God wants us to speak into each other's lives with good benefit and with purpose and with plans. Verse 11 of chapter 37 says this, and his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept his sayings in mind. Here's where this jealousy starts. We're jealous of you, jealous of what you've got. Isn't that incredible where we could be in church and somebody gets a new role or somebody gets to do this, and we're like, what about me? Why didn't I get that? I thought I was due that role. I thought I was due to do this part. You know what I want to encourage us with, church? Know this, God promotes and God elevates. And in the right time, in the right season, he's going to lift you up. Don't worry ever about it. There's always more spots. There's always more places. There's always more opportunities. God will raise you up. But don't even allow for a second that thought to dwell. If it does, cast it out and say, God, that's not right. Because I know, God, that you have a perfect spot for me. I know that in the right season, at the right time, I can never be overlooked. Because even if man overlooks me, God will promote me in the right time, in the right season. So hold fast because my God is good. And he will elevate me. He will promote me when the time is right. But it says his brothers were jealous of him. They didn't like what Joseph had. They didn't like what he had. And that jealousy led to wanting to kill him, wanting to sell him. I think one of the big things that happened in that moment was they lost their trust for each other. They lost their trust for each other. And when it comes to brothers and sisters, and it comes to close relationships, our trust is absolutely vital. When we start to corrode that trust, when we start to corrode that trust that we've got for each other, it's incredible how we'll quickly turn from being, we'll do everything together, until, I don't even want to be around you. Because that trust has been broken. That trust starts to get corroded. And let's be mindful and let's be careful that we're not part of the people that's corroding the trust, but that we're trying to be people that would maintain it. Now, we can't help what somebody else does to us, but we can definitely do this. We can pray for our enemies. That's what the Bible calls us to do. Can you believe that? God says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that are out to use you. Pray for those who are spiteful against you. Our job is not to partner with them and to start saying the same stuff and going, I'm going to do better than you because I'm going to pull your hair better than you pulled mine. And we're not going to get into that. Instead, we're going to step away from him and going to say, I'm going to speak in a different way. I'm going to return that against with for. I'm going to return whatever you're given to me with love because my God is for me. I am a treasured son. I am a treasured daughter. I will not change in my view. I will not change in my position because my identity is secure in God and it will not be robbed by the circumstances that I'm in. It will not be robbed. We read it last week. Joseph's identity could not be robbed, even when he was in the pit, even when he was in the prison, even when he was in Potiphar's house. His identity could not be robbed because his relationship with his father was always intact, even when he wasn't with them. And church, I want to encourage you this morning. Our relationship with our father is absolutely vital. Keep encouraging each other in that. Keep promoting each other in that. If we don't, we'll start to wonder if our dad's good. We'll start to wonder if we can trust him. We'll start to wonder, what do we do next? Maybe I'll have to do it by myself. Maybe I'll have to change some stuff. Maybe I'll have to go here instead. Maybe I'll have to go there instead. Instead of working on it, instead of trusting God, instead of honoring our brothers and sisters, instead of being there for each other, we pull away because we say, I'm going to have to do it a different way. I'm going to have to take it into my own strength. Joseph's brothers got consumed with the wrong things and they lost sight of the right things. That's the truth of the story. They could consume with the wrong things. They could consume with jealousy. They could consume with hatred. It started off small and it grew to become big barriers in their lives where they could not even love their brother. And we read at the end of last week, at the end of the chapter, when Joseph and his brothers come back into alignment, their brothers were in fear for their lives because they thought Joseph was going to come with vengeance. And Joseph was more worried about his brothers because he wanted them to receive him in love. He said, I'm not going to return all the hatred with more hatred. I'm not going to return all the wrongs with more wrongs. I'm going to return the wrongs with love because my relationship is secure. My identity is fixed in my Father. And my love and his love and our love has always been intact. God is with us this morning. We cannot be robbed from that position. Third thing is that sons help and love each other. It's so important that if we are brothers and sisters, that we reach out and we love and encourage each other. It is so important that we do that because what that does is it helps to push down the selfishness that wants to rise in me. It pushes down the pride that wants to rise in me. And instead of that, I push out and I want to make a difference in other people's lives. I want to help my brothers and sisters. I've heard that David's not well. I'm going to go visit him in the hospital. I've heard that he's not well. You know what? I mightn't be able to visit him, but I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to seek God for him. I'm going to spend some time in the quiet place with God because I want to see my brother restored. I want to see him come back to full strength. And sometimes we do that, and we do that with a good heart, but we do that because maybe he's one of our friends. He's one of our close brothers. And then it comes to another brother or another sister, and we're like, somebody else will probably pray for him. We get dismissive. Maybe to have nothing against that person, but we're just dismissive because I'm not as close with him. And God says this morning, I would love you to treat each other as you would treat me. And the way that I treat you, and the example that I've shown you. I came and I died for you because I loved you, because I loved the whole world, not just one, not just two, not just 1 billion, but I loved everybody, everybody. I loved the whole world, and because of that, I died for you. And God's here this morning. He says, I would love you to reach out and help. There's something amazing when we just help each other, isn't there? There's something amazing when we just do basic help for each other. We show basic kindness for each other. It goes a long way. It goes a long way when someone's struggling and somebody else comes alongside them and helps them. Maybe they have something practical to do and you come alongside them and you help them. Now again, we've said it many times before, I want to pray for people, but sometimes I don't want my prayer to be an excuse for not helping them because maybe they need help moving home. Oh, I'll pray for you, brother. That's cool. I'm going to go watch my programs. I'm going to watch Neighbors or whatever you watch. No. What those guys need is, yeah, cover them in prayer, but they need your manpower. They need your lifting. They need your help to get there. We need to start helping each other in a much greater capacity than ever before. That's what God's calling us to do. When we start to do that, what do? We promote unity. We promote love. We promote health in our relationships. We promote health in our family. We get stronger together. And when those other silly things come to try to divide us, they cannot get in because our relationships are so strong. We're like, I can't be right. We were just working together last week. He's for me. That can't be right. I was just phoning just earlier with him. He reaches out to me all the time. She reaches out to me all the time. We are tight together. We are tight together as family. Sometimes the most dangerous time in family is when the distance starts to create, when the distance gets in the way, the communication starts to stop, and then some kind of miscommunication comes out. And we're like, maybe that could be right. Yeah, I haven't heard from them in a while. That could be true. And we start to go on maybe not the benefit of the doubt, but the opposite of the doubt. We go on the doubt. Instead of trusting, instead of realizing that our relationships are good, that we are family, we start to allow some kind of seeds to grow. And before you know it, we start to doubt, we start to wonder. And then it's like, no, I'm not going to help him. He didn't help me. Everything starts to change. Our attitude starts to change. I think, church, we could talk about many things this morning, many things as brothers and sisters, but I think one of the most important aspects is that we help each other, that we love each other, that we're there for each other. I want us to read a story. It says this in Genesis 4. Verse 3 to 5, last couple of verses that we're going to read this morning. I think this morning as brothers and sisters, we've got to honor each other. We've got to be there for each other. If we don't, it can become the complete opposite. It says, when it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. And Abel also brought a gift. So both of them brings a gift, two brothers, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel's and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. It's amazing how two brothers brought up in the same home with the same dad, they're both raising their crops, they're both producing their animals, raising their animals, and they bring an offering to God. But the offerings were different, and God accepts one offering, but he rejects the other. And as a result, one brother turns on another. And you know the story, the brother goes and kills his brother. It's incredible that it could get from a place of, like, maybe I should just change, and maybe I should just do this, and then something grows in his heart, but jealousy takes root in his heart, and as a result, instead of helping his brother, he turns around and he hinders his brother. He goes and kills his brother. And if you read the story in the early part of Genesis, God comes to Cain, and he says, what have you done? What have you done with your brother? And he says, I don't know where he is. I think he's lost. And of course, he knew exactly where he was. He had spilled his blood. He got rid of his brother. It's amazing that when it comes to family, there's nothing quite like it. But when it comes to turning each other, sometimes there's nothing quite like it. There is nothing quite like it when family turn on each other. We can be the absolute best, or we can be the absolute worst. And God is here this morning. He's saying this: I want you to know who you are in me. I want you to know your identity. I want you to know your love. I want you to know your Heavenly Father, because the more that you know me, the less you'll turn on each other. The more it will encourage you. The more it will help you. God is here this morning. He says this: I want to swap all of that isolation for community. Sometimes when we get into that wrong thinking and we start to look out with eyes of ourselves, looking out to everybody else and thinking, what about me? We get to a place of isolation. And God says, I want to take you from that isolation. I want to bring you to community. That's where family belong. That's where brothers and sisters belong. Come back into community. God says this morning, I want to take you from independence and trying to do it all by yourself because maybe of hurt or because of pain or because you thought that was the only way. And I want to bring you back, and I want you to bring it back to doing it together. There's something special when we do things together. Is it tough? Is it hard? Absolutely. But there's something special when we bring it together. We promote that family again. We promote that brother and sister again. We put down that slave and orphan spirit again. And we remind ourselves afresh, again and again, I'm part of a team. I'm part of a family. I'm part of a bond here. We go from going alone to doing it together. We go from selfishness for sacrifice and responsibility. And what I love about family and what I love about brothers and sisters, when we're working in harmony together, no sacrifice is too great. No sacrifice is too great. But whenever we start to pull against each other, you want me to do that? What? I'm busy. I can't do it. I haven't got time. But when we're working together and we love each other and there's that integrity, there's that trust, and there's that promotion of each other, then suddenly no sacrifice is too great. We take responsibility over each other. And when a brother gets hurt, when a sister gets hurt, she's mine. He's mine. I'm going out for them. I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to go and get them. Middle of the night, don't care. Don't care if it's across the water. I'm going there. I'm going for it. I mean, Elizabeth's example is it. She's going for a granny who's not well, who she's worried that she may not see again, and she's spending all that money, all that time, all that energy. She gets on the plane, she's going right across. She's got to be with the ones that she loves. She's got to be with her family. And church, this morning, we're getting ready for our next door. We're getting ready for our bigger home. And if we're going to have a bigger home, we're going to have a better family. Our family's going to have to continue to grow, not just numerically, which is great and all of that's wonderful, but growing together in Christ. Becoming mature sons, mature daughters. Becoming sons and daughters that will bear with one another. Becoming sons and daughters that will put up with one another. Sometimes we just got to do that. Become sons and daughters who have to forgive because she didn't really mean to do that. She didn't really mean to say that. She didn't really mean to do that. And even though she meant it in that moment, it's not what she really means. It's not her full heart. It's not her heart. She was frustrated. She was angry. We look different. We look deeper into the things that happened. And God's here this morning saying, hey, I want to bring together that family unit stronger and more secure than ever before. And how will we promote that? We'll promote that by knowing our identities in Christ, because we'll know that my Father always has a place for me. He's promoting me in his time. I don't have to fight with it in my strength. I do all things in his strength. God is with me. He's going to bring me through. He's got a plan for me. Trust him. It's not what about me. It's about how's everybody doing. I'm here for you. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to encourage you. Can we stand together and pray? Lord, I thank you this morning that as we stand, Lord, if we're in you, if we're in Christ, then who can be against us? Lord, I pray this morning that we can live from a place of fear and negativity and a place of trying to do it always in my strength, or we can rest in the fact and the knowledge that we have brothers and sisters who love us. Lord, we can stand in the fact and knowledge that know that if we know Jesus, then we have a family around us, and that changes everything. I pray this morning, Lord, that whatever kind of burdens that we're carrying, whatever kind of anxieties and worries that we're carrying, we're brothers and sisters, that, Lord, that you would give us wisdom how to overcome. That, Lord, that you would give us confidence and encouragement how to overcome in those things. Because, Lord, we want our conversations. We want our talk. We want our reaching out to be pure. We want our reaching out to be different, Lord. We don't want to respond with hate. We want to respond with love. We want to respond with grace. We want to respond with mercy. I am so glad, Lord, of the example that Joseph gives us. How after all of those years, we could have harbored so much shame and guilt and rejection. Instead, he only harbored love and a love for his father and a want to see his family again. And when he did, he poured out blessings on them instead of fury. Lord, I pray this morning that we would realize that if we are sons and daughters, then we always have a spot in you. Lord, if we are sons and daughters, then you never run out. There is no lack. Lord, if we are sons and daughters, we can rest in that and have confidence in that because God is with me. He'll promote me at the right time. He will give me the things in the right seasons. He is working for me because he's a good dad and he's a good God. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would know your grace in every single situation. And Lord, if there's healing that needs to take place in our hearts because of brothers and sisters, and that can be very real, that Lord, even in these moments this morning as we would worship, that Lord, you would allow, that we would allow you to heal us. That we would allow you to reach into our hearts to heal us, Lord. To touch your hearts, to transform our lives. Lord, I pray this morning that whatever we've been carrying that's been no good, that's been too heavy, that we would let it go. I pray this morning, Lord, that we would swap any kind of form of isolation and rejection for acceptance and love. Lord, that we would let go of any kind of hatred, any kind of jealousy, and instead we take back up trust. I can trust you because I can trust my Father. And even when you let me down, my Father will never let me down. Something really amazing about that. Lord, help us this morning to deal with the what about me mindset and swap that to I'm safe and secure. What about everybody else? I know my God is with me. I want to see him do good things in them. Jesus, you're wonderful. And church, I want to encourage us this morning. I want to encourage us this morning that if you're here and you don't know the Lord and you don't know him as your Savior, if you're not a brother or sister yet, but you just love the sound of that. Lord, this morning that you're working in our hearts and you're working in our lives and anybody's heart this morning who is far from you or doesn't know you, and Lord, you're calling them home to be part of this family again, saying, come on, you can be fully in. You can be all in. And Lord, I pray in those moments, in this moment, that Lord, you would draw anyone who's far from you close. That you would draw anyone who doesn't know you in. And Lord, in this moment, they would respond by saying, Jesus, I welcome you into my heart. I need you to come into my life. I need you to save me from the sin that maybe I've realized for the first time or maybe I've realized all the time, but I need you to come and deliver me from my sins. I need you to come and do what only you can do because I thought I could fix myself, but I cannot. So Jesus, I need you to save me. If we believe that this morning, if we ask that this morning, if we accept that in our hearts this morning, if we trust Jesus with our lives, then everything transforms. Everything changes. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for anyone who doesn't know you, and for anyone who needs to know you. And Lord, if that is a reality in their lives, that they would ask you into their hearts, that they would say yes to you in this moment, that they would say, yes, Jesus, I need you in my life. And as we would worship this morning, as we would praise, as we would sing, you just take that moment to ask Jesus into your life. And as he does, he will make all things new and he will transform your life from a stranger to a son. Wow, what a transformation. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning, anybody who's far, anybody who doesn't know you, that in these moments as we would sing, they would go from strangers to sons, as they would ask, Lord, as they would ask for forgiveness, accept Jesus into their lives, and he would turn their lives around. Lord, I pray for the rest of us that we would step closer and closer into that role of being a mature son and a mature daughter. Lord, we love you this morning in your precious name. Amen. Church, as we sing, we're going to do our offering as usual. We're going to worship the Lord through our offering. We're going to worship the Lord through our song. We're just going